Hey, welcome back to the 15 Minutes with Frank podcast. My name is Frank. I'm glad that you're here because you are sticking through with this. We have created a friendship, and you are doing your part of the friendship by listening. And so I appreciate this. And the way you can continue to increase this friendship, to be a part of my denomination that I'm starting, is by sharing this podcast. Subscribe on iTunes, join the mailing list, and hand this podcast to someone else. Share it through a text or an email. Say, hey, yo, you're a youth pastor, and I know you want some tips, you want some advice, you want some ideas. Check out Frank's podcast, 15 Minutes with Frank, because it's the dopest beard in student ministry. Hey, man, I appreciate you joining us, me, because I'm by myself. I'm in Buffalo, New York, the home of the Buffalo Wing, my favorite food. And so even though I'm 3 days into this vacation, I haven't had a single Buffalo Wing. So I'm a little disappointed, but there's still hope for the rest of this week. I wasn't at my youth group this past Sunday because I was in Buffalo, New York. However, I still planned the whole thing, as well as got the inside scoop from all my leaders about how it went. And so what I want to do is I want to share with you how my youth group went last night. Hold on, let me adjust. All right. Now I'm not sitting on my leg. I want to let you guys know how it went last Sunday, as well as give you some tips about how to have run your student ministry on a youth night when you're not there. Because I think there are going to be times, and there should be times, where you're like on vacation, you're out of town at a conference, or something happens where you just can't be there on a youth night, and your youth night still needs to run. You still have to continue the momentum. You still have to keep chugging forward. And in order to do that, you got to have some things in place. So I'm going to give you three tips on how to do that. Before we do that, let's dive into what we did last Sunday night. So at 4 o'clock, the band came in, and I'll give you an update. So a couple weeks ago, I told you that my the guy who was leading the worship team had left to go to school in California, and so we were kind of in this limbo period right now about what to do. And there was this one volunteer leader who said, I could do it. I think I can do it. And so he did the first Sunday, and it was killer. It was amazing. And now he wants to do it every Sunday, and I can't wait. This Sunday is going to be his second time leading it. And he was good the first time. I'm excited to see how it's going to go. He's a good guy. He's going to lead well. So we had band rehearsal. And after that, we had our leader meeting. So our leader meeting consists of our program director kind of running, talking about like the order of service, kind of go over in Planner Center, talking about everyone's roles and what to expect. And then after that, I do a thing called 5 Minutes with Frank. So what I do for 5 Minutes with Frank is usually give him kind of like more of a devotional type of style thing, if not some kind of like leader training to talk. So like to help our volunteers kind of learn more about how to be a better leader or just grow in their faith. And so what I did is I recorded a video of myself talking about the 10 tips on how to lead a small group. And so there's a link I'm going to put on the website, frankel.me, from a YouthWorks article, from youthworks.com, that gave really good 10 tips on how to lead a small group. And so basically I just went over that article with my leaders and gave them a copy of like the 10 points that they wrote down. And I talked to my leaders afterwards and texted them. I said, hey, was that the video helpful? And they said, oh, it was really good. And those tips were really great. And so I felt like I did a decent job in that. And I found a good article in that. After that, the doors opened at 5 o'clock. So I'm sorry, 6 o'clock. The doors opened to music and snacks. We spent $8 on snacks for however many kids, like 50, 60, 70 kids or whatever. And what we did is we went to the grocery store and bought those Freezy Pops and basically frozen sugar water. They love that stuff. And I spent $8 total. So you can't beat that. You can't beat when you only spent $8 on snacks for like over 50 people. It's great. Music was playing, all that stuff was happening. And then we had all the kids sit down and we played a funny video. And the video I played was called In Memory of Brennan Frew. And so Brennan was my intern this past year. If you remember, like I interviewed him on this podcast and he was a really goofy kid from Albuquerque. And what we had him do is every Tuesday night we had this Bible study or church called Equip You. And we had a student-led one where we had students come to the Bible study. And so I recorded every Tuesday night. He recorded a video covering silly songs like for like a Snapchat length, like 10 seconds, inviting kids to equip you. It was so funny. This is the kind of stuff I want my interns to do, like to do silly things like this. And so I had him come in. He every Tuesday night, he did the video. And then so what I did is I compiled all those videos into one big video and put it on YouTube and showed it to our kids. And they loved it. It was super funny. It's one of those where it's like, it's only funny if you know the guy or if you were there. Outside of that, it might be a little cringy. I don't know. Maybe it's not cringy. I see a couple of people who don't know him and they thought it was really funny. So that you can find that video, I'll put it in the show notes on the website. After that, our Fuse host came on, and our Fuse host did the announcements, talking about Fuse One Night, which is coming up, as well as to serve in Fuse. And then we played two games. One is a classic. It's called the noodle game, and basically you get a noodle, like a pool noodle, not a food noodle, but you get a pool noodle, and you have the kids stand in a circle. And one kid, I'll try to put the instructions in the website. And then the kids in the circle have to say each other's name. So let's say like there's a Brandon and a Melissa. And so Brandon says, Melissa. And then Melissa will say someone else's name, like Jared. And then Jared will say someone else's name, like Brian. And it will keep going, so on and so forth, until someone stutters or forgets a name. And then the person in the middle has to hit the person with the noodle. The person trying to say the name has to. So the person with the noodle in the middle has to hit the person that's trying to say the name before they say a name, if that makes sense. I'll put the instructions, because I'm sure instructions are better online. But basically, it's a game of like speed and memorization and silliness. So it's super fun. And the next game I played was called Crowd Charades Back to School Edition. And so that was on DYM Store. It's like reverse charades, you know, where there's someone up front and they can't see the screen, and the whole crowd sees the screen, and they see the thing they have to do, and the whole crowd acts it out while the person in front has to, like, guess it. That's always a hit in my ministry, and the kids absolutely love it. Then we played, then we sang three songs. The worship team apparently did a really good job. It was This Is Amazing Grace, Set a Fire, and then Forever Rain. And then my campus pastor came up, and he's the one that spoke. So we're doing a series called Say Yes. I'll put a link on from the DYM store for you to see the graphics, because I like the graphics of it, but we're kind of writing our own messages. But basically, whenever I leave, I'm very critical about who speaks for me, because I just don't want whack people speaking, you know? And I know that's sometimes rough, because like sometimes like you should probably want like your volunteers to speak, and sometimes your volunteers aren't necessarily the greatest speakers, so you have to give them room to, like, kind of fail if they do fail. But, and I think I would, depending on the context. But, like, I think in this situation, I just wanted a good message, and I wanted someone to do well. And I know my campus pastor would do well. And this is, you know, this is the type of thing. When you're leaving, who is going to speak for you? You have to kind of be critical about that. Like, sometimes your senior pastor isn't a good idea. Like, you if you know your senior pastor and he doesn't relate well with students and stuff like that, like, he might be a great senior pastor, but he might not be a great youth pastor, you know what I'm saying? Or at least a speaker to students. Don't put your senior pastor in a situation to fail. You know what I'm saying? Like, that might be a rough place for him, and it might only set him up for failure and set your kids up for, like, being disenchanted with the senior pastor. Like, put someone in there who's going to somewhat relate to the kids and be enjoyable, you know. And in my case, my campus pastor would do a good job of that. I have another guy, an executive pastor, who was a former youth pastor, who actually would do a good job of that. And I'm sure there's other people on my staff who would probably do a good job, as well as my volunteers. But yeah, I mean, be really critical when you pick your guest speaker, because this is their only time to speak to your kids, and you know, you don't want their only time that the kids remember this person to be like a bad time. Does that make sense? It's like, set them up for success. Give them either a topic that they know they'll knock it out of the park, or make it open-ended enough where they can like do their best sermon. Does that make sense? So after the message, we had small groups, and then they had lights out, and it was good. So they all left. So whenever I leave, which is maybe like 4 or 5 times a year, I think 4 or 5 times a year is like when I'm not, maybe less, it's probably way less. It's probably like 3 times a year. When there's youth group and I'm not there, it's probably 3 or 4 times a year. But in those times a year where I'm not there, I kind of have like these three things I have to follow. And so I want to give you these three tips on how to have your student ministry function on a student ministry night when you're not there. The first one is this, is choose someone to be in charge. Choose someone to be in charge. Like, don't let don't just be like, okay, I have a team and the team is going to be good. I'm sure you have a great team, but someone needs to be the point person, because oftentimes that's you. You're the point person usually. And so if anything happens in the ministry, people come to you. If they don't have that and they don't have one person to come up to, your volunteer leaders are just going to like talk to each other and like blobs, and they might just make their own decisions, and actually things might not end up going the way you hope it goes. You know what I'm saying? Again, you leave space for failure. Like, obviously, a youth night is not going to go perfect. And I don't think youth nights go perfect even when you are there. But, like, you can't expect it to be, like, seamless always. You know what I'm saying? So what I do is I have a lady whose name is Nancy, and she's called the program director. So she already kind of knows what's the kind of a lot of the expectations of what the night expects. And so what I do is I chose her because I knew, you know, she's a high-capacity volunteer, and she would do a good job. And then the second thing I do is I give a detailed list. And so there are going to be a bunch of things in your student ministry that you know about that no one else knows about. You know what I'm saying? Like how to turn on a certain microphone, or where's the light switch for a certain part of the room. And like, those type of things you have to really think about. If you were not in your room, would someone know how to do this? And oftentimes, I just don't even let assumptions happen. Like, I would just, like, even if it's, like, obvious, I'd be like, hey, this is where the light switch is to turn off the lights. You know what I'm saying? Like, I would write that down and make a long email and send it to everybody that, like, is going to be a part of your youth night. Be like, okay, Mike, I need you to do the lights, the sound, and this. You know what I'm saying? Melissa, I need you to do the check-in, and this is what the check-in is. This is the login for the check-in system, you know, and then do this after the check-in's over. Like, make a detailed list and send that email. So that way, all your volunteers have one common document they can go back to, and that way they can all keep each other in check. Like, hey, Melissa, did you log out of the system when you were done? Like, because it says in the email. Like, they all have this idea. And then your main person that you pointed can kind of go over with every person to make sure the jobs get done. And then the third thing is, whoever your guest speaker is, make sure you write a thank you letter. Like, at the end of the night, at the end of the, when you get back from vacation or whatever, whenever it's over, write a thank you card for that person. Because they're taking time out of their day to, like, speak to your kids. And that's an honor. And that's something that you should be very grateful for. And the fact that you're willing to do that means a lot. So remember, especially most of us who are probably listening to this podcast, you're the only person in your student ministry. And so if you're the only person in your student ministry who's, like, paid, let me explain what that meant. I'm sorry. You're not the only person in your student ministry. You're the only person getting paid to think about your student ministry, right? Everyone else is a volunteer. So you can't expect people to think about things that only you get paid to think about. So you have to think critically about a lot of more stuff than your volunteers do, but you can empower them to have greater work. And that's by making a point person, having a detailed list, and also thanking the people for the work that they do. That kind of stuff empowers them and emboldens them and makes them better volunteers. So unless you do have someone that's like a number two on your team who actually does get paid for your student ministry, you're going to have to make some extra efforts when you're not there to make sure your youth group runs somewhat similar to how it normally runs. All right, guys? Hey, I'm in Buffalo. I wanted some wings now. I need to get out of here. But I hope this was helpful. I hope these, if you're ever thinking about going on vacation, if you feel like, man, every time I leave, our student ministry goes, like, you know, in the toilet. Well, maybe those small three tips will actually help you succeed. All right. There's noises around me, so I'm going to get out of here. With that being said,